welcome to a brand new episode of Hammered Heroes. My name is Sophie Santos.
I'm Brendan Fitzgibbons.
And you can follow me at Sophie E. Santos on Instagram.
You can follow me at Sophie E. Santos on Instagram. That's a joke. It's at the underscore Brendan Fitzgibbons.
And you can follow the pod at Hammered Heroes Pod on TikTok, on Instagram. We got a lot of fun videos popping off. I clearly am Justin Bieber. I had to turn off my notifications because we got too many notifications. People liked it too much.
People really like our video of Joe Namath, of how many women he's had sex with, of all the things that we've done. Who would have thought that that's what the Instagram algorithm is into? What a pervert.
I'm waiting for you to introduce me, but I saw that one.
No.
No, I swear to God,
we're not
going to
introduce you.
It.
It's
no,
just
no,
going to be... We just want to talk about our viral content. Over.
I'm going to keep acting like there's no one else here. It's just me looking down the barrel of the camera. But as you heard, we do have a guest in studio today. But before we get to her is that your pronoun? Before we get to her today, we're going to talk about the man, the myth, the Bambino. That's
Whoa.
Right, Babe Ruth.
Nobody in the history of American sport has made the same impact that Babe Ruth made on the world of baseball. The inventor of the home run, a powerhouse who built the reputation of an entire club, a larger than life figure who revolutionized his sport.
His career spanned 22 seasons from 1914 through 1935. He's nicknamed the Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT. I do want to get into that later. He began his MLB career as a star left-handed pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
Crazy.
But, of course, he achieved his greatest fame as an outfielder for the New York Yankees. We're getting a lot of boos coming from the other end. But he won 7 World Series titles. He hit 714 home runs and built a career on base. He's built his career OPS, which is on base plus slugging percentage, which has never been equaled. And he is regarded as one of the greatest sports heroes in American culture, guys, and is considered to be the greatest baseball player of all time. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame as one of the first 5 inaugural members. So let's also not forget that he got his jet fuel from glizzies and beer. So yes, we are talking about Babe Ruth. But first, oh my God, guys, for today, we are joined by very, very funny, very talented Erica Tomposi, who is the co-host of the Broadcast Podcast. She's also a host for the Los Angeles Rams with everything with her. She's the talent coordinator. She's about to go do some, well, I don't know if we can we talk about the
cheerleader? Yeah, we can
stuff?
Talk about it.
Okay, she's about to go audition to be a cheerleader. and she's a former host of the NFL Network's Fantasy League One show. She's the weakest link loser and obsessed with her 2 dogs. Erica. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Thank you. First of all that information about Babe Ruth, just off the top of the dome, like no computers in front of you,
I know,
no phones.
It was crazy.
Like, how did you know all that?
I know.
We stayed up for the last 6 months rehearsing that.
That
yeah.
is insane.
Yeah, it was really good.
I'm impressed.
We're thespians.
We do sports trivia, just me and Sophie alone, just saying facts.
There you
That's
go.
How we hang.
But I have to talk to you. I have some questions.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know.
Me too.
That I feel like I should hold your hand in this, Brendan, because this is a pretty big deal. We know that you
we don't want to hurt your feelings.
We don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
We know you work for the LA Rams and are legally contracted to say that you love them.
Yes.
But what's going on over there?
Matt Stafford just got sacked. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on?
Nope. Okay, listen.
But we're going to run it back.
How many offensive line players did they have combinations? Over 12? Listen, injuries. It was a tough year.
Von Miller's gone.
Yeah. It was a tough year. It was that's all I can say. It was really tough. But it was worth it. We got the chip. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
You put it all in for that one season, but listen, longevity.
Okay. But listen, okay? Yeah, we traded some pieces away, of course.
Yeah.
But the mindset within the building, and I'm in there, you know, I'm getting coffee, talking to Coop.
Yeah.
You know, we're just like... There,
we do like Coop.
I love Coop. There are actually not negative feelings within that building right now.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, maybe there should be.
Yeah, I think there should be.
No, I don't think so. No, absolutely not.
How about some pessimism? But was all of the championship, all this excitement, was it all worth it for the pizza commercial in your mind?
Yeah.
You think
that emotion and that type of range for
right.
Matthew is something that I will treasure for the rest of my life.
Right. So did you like put him through a bunch of improv classes to achieve
yeah,
that?
Yeah, actually, we did UCB together.
That's great.
And I was just, you know, working with him, and I was like, you just got to say pizza. That's all you got to do, and hold the Lombardi.
It took you a week to figure that out. It is funny to me. We found the one Rams fan.
Oh no.
I don't want to interrupt you, but Brent and I talk about this a lot, where it's like, you know, we are in LA and no one really cares about the Rams.
It's
like,
weird.
It's you know what I mean?
It's very weird.
It's just kind of what's
happening.
For example,
we watched the Super Bowl together, right?
Yeah.
When you guys won.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like LA didn't care. They're like, oh, sweet. Is it a Quentin Tarantino premiere? What's going on?
No one cared.
See, I think, you know, this is the media portrayed a certain thing, and in the parade, they were like, no one's showing up. But there were thousands of people. It was crazy. But yes, absolutely. Where are you from originally?
It's a very hard question for me to answer.
Okay.
Military kid.
But not LA?
Not LA.
And where are you from?
Chicago.
Okay, I'm from Boston. Where are we right now? We're in Beverly Hills at Podcast One.
Whoa.
We don't want people to know. We also don't want people to know where we are.
Okay, we'll drop the coordinates. But listen,
it's
like
scary.
This is the problem with a town like LA. I mean, people flock here. So yes, the team also wasn't here previous to the past 7 years or whatnot, 5, 6 years, whatever. I'm clearly like a, you know, perfect employee.
You're doing great.
Exactly.
I think you're holding some good ground.
Your boss
for
is about
right
to come in here and just watch us.
I am honestly mic'd up at all times, and I feel like my phone's recording me.
Right.
And so I just got to say that, like, I'm a company woman, and I think the Los Angeles Rams are an incredible team to root for with talent. Coach McVay.
Yeah. My response to that is pizza. You know, like, that's what I have to say. That, but I will say, can we get McVay to stop wearing the pencil? Is it possible out of his ear?
No.
Why always a pencil?
No, I mean,
or is it a marker? What is he doing?
It depends on.
Wait, did he leave?
No.
They were talking about maybe him leaving, but
he needed a little moment. He needed a little spa day, and then he's like,
and then he's back.
He went to the Office Depot and got some replenished pencils.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's fine.
No, we're good. We're good.
I think we're good here, Derek Carr. I think. Well, it'd be curious. I mean, Cooper Kupp's great.
Yeah,
I'd be curious for a trade. Not gonna lie, be kind of fun.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
But Stafford's getting old.
Right, but they're still Stafford. They talked about maybe getting a trade for Allen Robinson, who didn't get to.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But you've got Stafford, you've got Cooper Kupp, you've got Aaron Donald coming back. You know, there's a lot of draft capital all of a sudden. A lot of our rookies, a lot of people weren't watching the Rams last year because of the record.
Yeah, I checked out.
They developed a lot of.
And I didn't have any players on my fantasy team.
Okay, yeah,
if I'm going to be
exactly.
honest, he got Cooper Kupp, so I didn't.
Right,
I
so you want. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's. I'm not. As concerned, I think, as a lot of other people are.
Right.
Okay.
What's it like being delusional?
It's good, yeah. You know, it's just me in my own little world. And
just kidding.
Whatever.
No, we're in LA. It's perfect for it, you know.
Yeah.
I did think that Baker Mayfield moment was beautiful, mostly because I look like him, and it helped my TikTok presence.
Really?
Yeah, it was really nice.
Okay.
So it's about me.
I don't see it, because he's, like, kind of a good-looking guy.
Oh! So okay. Now we're doing personal attack?
We actually have been dogging you the moment you got here. No, I'm excited that you're a Rams fan. It brings me joy. I'm happy to know the one Rams fan. I would love to go to the stadium, though. It'd be great.
Yeah, so you better watch your mouth if you're trying to get tickets.
I know,
here.
I'm trying.
You
I
know what I mean? You guys got to be nice. I mean, it's okay. Sorry, the Chiefs. Oh, it must be so tough being a Chiefs
fan. I know. That's
well, you know what it was, actually? I grew up in Kansas City for a long time. Started going to those Chiefs games.
That's when she was not a fan, was when they weren't good.
Well, I'm actually a Patriots fan because I'm from Boston. So, yeah, the last 20 years of my life have been really tough.
It's really tough, too.
See, that's where we got.
And the Red Sox.
Something was off here.
I wish the Red Sox would win a World Series other than the 4 that they won.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Now, we would love to get into the honorary hammered hero.
Yeah, so I hope you. I don't know if you saw this. This is like one of my favorite sports stories. What's your favorite sport of all of them?
It's definitely NFL and then tennis, actually.
Wow.
I love tennis.
I played for the University of New Hampshire. Humble brag.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool.
Beautiful pine trees over there.
Yeah, really nice.
Do you think pickleball is just tennis for losers?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's very hard and it's fun to play. But yeah, I love Bleacher
content.
Report. Shout out to you guys.
I'm still stuck on when you call me unattractive. All right,
I just said, you know, Baker's a good looking guy and...
Brennan, you're good looking.
Here's my hammered hero.
I can hold your hand the whole time. Will that help
Yeah,
you?
So our honorary hammered hero, this is like one of my favorite sports stories. It's the tale of the Thomas Edison Charter High School basketball team in New Jersey.
Okay.
They were losing, and we're going to play you this, don't worry, you're going to see it, by 55 points and did arguably the greatest celebrations.
Who is this high school basketball player that celebrated by doing the splits mid-game when his team was down by 55? This was a matchup between Montgomery High School and Thomas Edison Charter in New Jersey. And despite it being a 50-point blowout, this was one of the wildest basketball games I have ever seen.
What?
Montgomery was up 79-20 with 4 minutes to go. But that is when Evan Gilpin of Thomas Edison started to heat up. He hit this step-back three and then came down in the next possession and pulled up from NBA range. That got his teammate Andrew LaValle hyped as he high-stepped down the court and hit an NBA 2 2K animation.
That is hilarious.
Gilpin then knocked down a fading midi in the corner, and two Thomas Edison players cartwheeled their way down the court.
Two of them.
Finally, with 30 seconds left, Andrew cleared out both teams and drove in for a dunk. The entire gym went nuts as Andrew celebrated with a 360 cartwheel into a split.
Oh! That hurt me.
Thomas Edison Charter lost by 55 points.
Thomas Edison Charter lost by 55
also,
points.
What a mouthful. Thomas Edison Charter.
Thomas
like,
Edison
we
Charter.
Gotta, we got to come up with an acronym or something.
Like, lost by 55 points.
Yeah, what's their team name? The Light Bulb?
It felt like NBA Jam plus Fiddler on the Roof.
Exactly like that. Yeah. That's exactly.
I also kind of looked at that guy and I was like, is that his way of coming out to his parents? Yeah. Is that his way of saying, yeah, this basketball's not for me.
I should be in theater. It's incredible.
It's the best.
Also, losing by 55 points.
Yeah, but at that point, you've got to just
it's fun.
Go for
well, that
it.
Was like
so, have you ever, it's a good question for everyone, played a game where you guys lost so bad and then there was like some kind of embarrassing celebration? I'll go first. I was a high school freshman basketball player back when I was hot. And we lost by 50 points to a team called Conan. And whenever we would play, no matter what, our cheerleaders had to come out and go, "We are proud of you." I said, "We are proud of you. You betcha." That was literally it. And we lost by 50.
Okay.
And that was back when, like, people felt shame. I feel like this generation doesn't feel any shame.
Yeah, we're all perfect.
Yeah. How about you guys? Any horrible ass-kicking stories in sports?
Or something funny? There's gotta be
so many of them. Something where you got, like, so embarrassed. Like, or even, like, the worst loss you had.
I mean, there was one point where, and you talk about being hammered and whatever, but in college, playing for UNH, there was some sort of, like, defunding thing, like, halfway through, because it was like, oh, women's tennis, like, who gives a fuck? Like, right. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah, I'm swearing left and right. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, you know, who gives a fuck about this? So the night before, I'm living with my roommates, they're Boston hooligans, you know, they are. I'm like, I gotta get up at 7 a.m., and we're going to play Harvard tomorrow.
Ooh. Oh, fun.
So, but we were, like, relegated to, like, a club halfway through, so it was, like, D1. Double A, whatever, and then they're like, yeah, no, fuck you. So now it's like gonna be the club level. So it was like kind of this like weird thing halfway through my college career.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So it's the night before, it's a Saturday. I'm supposed to go to Harvard in the morning. So I'm like, I'm just gonna lock myself in my room, like chug some Benadryl and like let everyone else go. And I wake up at 3 a.m. to pounding on my bedroom door, like boom, 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 as loud as you can. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I open it and two of my friends thought it would be funny to just be topless, jumping up and down, trying to wake me up at 3 a.m. when they got home from the bars. And they thought that was the funniest thing that they've ever done. And I'm sitting there kind of hallucinating on Benadryl of like two of my best friends topless, just jumping up and down, laughing, like saying, like, they call me Eric, and they like to be funny. They're like, Eric, open the door. And they're just talking. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So then Saturday morning, I'm like sleeping on the bus from UNH down to Harvard. And I'm like, this is going to be my like Legally Blonde moment. I am gonna fucking kill this. I'm swearing like a sailor. I don't even know what's going on.
Love it, dude. Let it fly.
Yeah. So keep going.
Here we go. There's this little blonde chick, Harvard, you know, number 3 or something, whatever. And I'm like, all
number
right.
Number fucking 3.
Yeah, whatever. Fucking, whatever. Yeah. Like, come on.
Who's
like,
number 3?
Yeah, number 3. But I also was 3 because I was playing her. So I'm just like, you know, humble brag, but also like, shit, that sucks. But so I'm there and I'm like, okay, she's like kind of little like, and I'm short, but I'm like, I got the arm span. Like, I'm like feeling good, like, a little tired, a little pissed off that of the way that I was woken up, but like also funny. That little tiny blonde wiped the court with me. Like, I don't think I even got one hit back. She was just like very nice, very polite, and then as soon as we like, you know, shook hands, like, hey, whatever, literally the most embarrassing thing. And I'm like on Harvard's campus, and I got I thought this was my Elle Woods moment. I thought I was just gonna be like, okay, you know, like rise above adversity. I got wrecked.
But
still, think about her.
You used that anger to create the Facebook.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. This is actually the plot of Social Network. Yeah,
which if you haven't seen that movie, you don't need to now because we actually
told you everything.
I will say this. When you were telling me the topless story, I was like, re-enroll at UNH.
Yeah.
That's all I was thinking.
I was like, I should have been a student athlete. Like, I would have figured things out a lot quicker.
Exactly.
That's a funny story, though. So what was the final score? Do you remember?
It was probably like 6-0. I got slammed. I got railed with a tennis racket. It was horrific.
Wow.
It was horrific.
I bet I'm more of a sports fan than an athlete.
You always have stories about playing. You've played every sport ever.
I have played a lot of sports, but I was more like a good kid athlete. And then once I got to high school, I decided to do theater and stuff. I would say it's like a loss, but it's definitely something that's very humiliating. So towards the end of my sort of sports career in high school, I was just like over it. I was still on the cross country team somehow.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And so I would go to these meets and I would like get to a part where we were in the woods. I'd run into the woods and then I'd just start walking.
I did that too.
And then I'd emerge out of the woods when I would see my father and I'd keep running. And then as soon as I thought he couldn't see me, I'd walk and then I'd just hear him go, "Elizabeth, what are you doing?" You know, he's very tough. He's a military man. And so I would just like, oh God. But then once the gig was, once the jig was up though, I finally just started I would just walk in front of everyone. I'm like, I'm going to own it. I'm just going to walk.
You got it.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking walk.
And I was for life.
I'd still make it to state because of the other runners.
They'd all walk in the woods.
They would. Yeah. We'd all walk in the woods. So I just go for a walk in the woods.
Sounds like a Taylor Swift song.
It probably is.
It is.
Well, out of the woods. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good song.
I'm actually, humble brag, going to go down to Tampa next weekend and I might see if tickets drop that day and go see her there too. I kind of want to see if she's going to be like kind of, you know, mouthy because she's in Florida. So I feel like that's worth seeing. Like,
oh,
I want to
really
see
fun.
Say some shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I feel like it's like my like journalistic
duty. She's like, I'm buying
duty.
Disney now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
So I think
Governor to suck ass.
Are we out of the woods? Are we out of the woods? Are we out of the woods? Ron DeSantis. So, all right.
That's amazing.
Well, speaking of woods.
Let's do it.
Speaking of trees,
of woods, great.
Speaking of trees, speaking of Bambi, speaking of the Bambino.
Mm. We got there.
I do think we should start with what a lot of people know, but maybe not know the details of, is the Curse of the Bambino, which I'd like to kind of do a little background.
Yeah, please.
So we are talking about Babe Ruth. I don't know if you remember that from the monologue.
The insane life of Babe Ruth. His breakfast included a half dozen eggs, a porterhouse steak, and potatoes washed down with a quart-sized container of whiskey. Ruth's marriage fell apart due to non-stop entanglements with prostitutes. This man spent more time in the brothel than the batting cage.
And that we've forgotten about for 20 minutes. But we are talking about Babe Ruth, and so baseball players believe that if a bad decision is made, it will bring back bad luck or worse, a jinx for years to come. Brennan, I did put in a sound effects witch crackle here, so.
Okay, great. This is a good post note.
That's not going to happen. It's just going to be exactly that. So, one of the most known jinxes is the Curse of the Bambino.
Yes.
Babe Ruth was hired by the Red Sox in 1914 and became the most successful left-handed pitcher. He won 65 games and made 29 home runs as a hitter. And the Red Sox won 5 World Series titles, and he was a key player in 3 of those titles. Okay. Mm. But in 1920, Red Sox owner Harry Frazee sold Ruth to the disgusting New York Yankees for $100,000 in cash and a $300,000 loan, which, guys, this is 1920, so that's
a lot of
that's
money.
That's $1 trillion. I think that's what that
I think it's
to.
Just a trillion. I think we've already, we
yeah,
don't even have
just,
to look
round it
at
up.
The ratio. So the Yankees, on the other hand, so right, the Red Sox have won 5 at this point, 3 with Bambino, and the Yankees have never won the World Series, okay? Mm. So after Ruth arrived, the Yankees won 4 times with Babe and then 26 overall. And they have gone to the World Series 37 times.
Holy shit.
And after selling Ruth, the Red Sox, as you can tell by the air being sucked out of the room, didn't win another World Series for 86 years.
Wow.
Okay.
I remember I'm holding a newspaper. My dad took a picture because this is back. I don't know how old you guys are, but newspapers are these things that they used to like print out that like, you know, had some facts on. I don't know what your listener base is, but guys, Google a newspaper if you're interested.
Older moms.
Yeah. So it has the date on it and I'm holding it. And it says, like, we broke the curse. And it's my dad made me hold the newspaper to, like, document the day.
Wow.
In 2004?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've won 2004, 2007, 2018. I remember, too, and I was trying to actually look this up because I couldn't seem to find it on the internet. But I remember I was either in middle school or high school when the Red Sox were down. Mm-hmm. And then they came back, right?
Yeah.
But that wasn't the World Series. Was that the...
Was that the
Yankees.
It was against the Yankees,
it was.
Right?
It was the Shilling
was
Bloody
like
Sox.
Yes, yes.
Legendary.
3 against 1, right?
Yeah.
And then they came back.
Yeah.
And I remember telling my stepdad at the time, RIP, he's alive, he's just not in the family.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? You want to talk about
it? No, we're good. Yeah, we're good here.
Also, like, you said your dad called you Elizabeth. I feel like we should, like, connect. And, like, I feel like there's, like, a lot going on underneath the surface
here. There's a lot there. But we also use this podcast as therapy.
Like, I've got some questions. I'm just, like, taking mental
notes. My middle name is Elizabeth. Now you know where I live. You know, podcast one's in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And my middle name is Elizabeth. So have at it, guys.
Okay.
But
What I was going to say.
That's mom.
I would
I'm
like
so
to move
sorry.
On. Yeah. Okay. I got lost.
No. This was good, though. There was something happening.
No,
you read something on
saw,
the internet.
Yeah, you were trying to figure out.
My stepdad.
Oh, I was going to say. So my stepdad.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. I remember looking at my stepdad and being like, I had a feeling. And I was like, I think they're going to come back. I said, wouldn't it be amazing if they're down 3-1, if they come back?
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, I don't know. I mean, it's never happened. It hasn't happened.
So he was an older gay man?
Yeah, it was Southern.
Yeah, it was Southern older gay
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we went to Chelsea one time in New York, and I just lost him, and I never saw him again.
He was always traveling with his friend, Dave.
Yeah.
His friend was here. So I will say this entire time you experienced this drought, right,
yeah.
with the Red Sox, it was tough, but we can honestly say Dunkin' Donuts was still thriving.
Oh, yeah.
For you guys, yeah. Like, no matter
We're
what.
We're going to fucking Dunkies, kid. Like, what else is there to do? Like, let's go. I remember when the first Dunks, like, came to San Diego.
Dunkies.
Yeah, Dunks. Dunks came to San Diego,
oh,
and
God.
I was...
You like New England people are
no, it's no
so
joke.
Fucking
it's,
weird. I drove to San Diego. It was in a Marriott hotel, and I was like, well, let's fucking go.
It's no joke. Everybody... No, Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, like,
yeah.
when he first came to Indiana, he's like, where is the closest Dunkin' Donuts?
But that's just, you guys are just saying way too many words. It's just Dunks, Dunkies.
I know, but that's what, I love that, like, New England people are, you kind of do this too. Maybe it's a Midwestern thing too as well, but it's just like, yeah, we're going to Dunks. Yeah, we're going to, like, you know, Traders. Yeah, we're going to, like, Trades. Have you heard
well,
of
what
Trades?
What do you say, Trader Joe's?
Yeah, you just say the full fucking name.
Yeah, but that seems like a lot. Like, it's like, I gotta go pack my bags at the Trader Joe's. Like, it just seems like, yeah, you're going.
My buddy says trading hours, which I just love.
I would definitely have been bullied by you in high school. I would have been bullied
by
you.
She already bullied me up top,
and I
felt destroyed.
It was
amazing.
You know, we gotta go back to therapy before we get back to Babe Ruth, because, like, yeah, maybe I need to look inside.
No, I don't think. I think look less inside.
Yeah, I think that's all that matters. Now,
let's talk about just the level of his consumption. I feel like we haven't gotten into it. The dude... Okay, so a lot of these are somewhat rumors, but they feel like facts. One of the things I read, he was chewing tobacco at 5.
Yeah, I did hear that. I actually kind of believe it. It was, you know, 1900, the Dust Bowls just happened, the Oregon Trail, people were dying of dysentery.
You're just going farther and farther back.
Dysentery.
The Civil War just happened, South lost.
I feel like the Declaration of Independence was just signed.
The Declaration of Independence.
Like, I just feel like everyone's just like in dust all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All those photos, and also no one's smiling in photos. No.
Right,
one.
Right.
When was smiling invented?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
But
that's a good one.
Because
a thinker.
Because we'll come back to that. Because of the tobacco. So there's a source that says I have my own deep throat. Says that he started drinking and chewing tobacco at least in his early teens. So 5 to teens. That's very young.
Who hasn't?
No, I mean, We go to Dunks.
You put a little Bailey's in your Dunkies, and you go to your middle school class.
Were you born chain smoking cigarettes?
No, but I was. My first word was wicked.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No,
not mom, not dad, just wicked. Oh, of course it fucking wasn't. But like,
I believe.
So because of his ADHD.
Can't relate.
Is this true?
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's what I read. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
That's what I love about this story is like, and the older stories we tell, because a lot of it's like, we think it's true.
Right.
Right.
Like, okay, so I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here.
No, jump
there was
the gun.
One story of him like getting so drunk on a train, like the bellyache, right?
Yes,
the, whatever.
With that,
yeah, they call it. And so literally they like said that because he fainted at the train station, that he literally like it's called the bellyache heard around the world.
Yeah.
And he did not recover to the point where people were like, yeah, he died on that train. And like that's what like the telegrams
and then there's all
were
the
going
stories.
Yeah,
also,
they were just like, oh shit, he died on that train.
By the way, before the internet, if a story reached across multiple places, they heard around the world because that was the best they could do because there's no internet.
Yeah.
So they're like, this is the story heard around the world because it was like, okay, 6 people heard it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's
got
two.
Like one bird that's
it got,
just
yeah,
going
just,
between states.
That is true. So there was all these rumors that he just died.
Right.
And then he recovered and hit 60 home runs the next season and broke a record for most home runs.
Crazy.
It's insane.
Well, okay, so this is actually, it brings up a good point. So... He would drink before games and hit home runs. And one of it, so here's a great quote. It says he would have a boozy party for his teammates and anyone else who dropped by the hotel. So the night before a game, he would have a party with his teammates. Boozing seemed to have little effect on him. He'd be out all night, and next morning his eyes would be clear as little babies. And then a biographer, Lee Montville, tells a story of a reporter who was summoned to Ruth's hotel one night before a game, and Ruth poured him a large whiskey. The reporter questioned the wisdom of drinking so close to the game, and Ruth goes, well, goddammit, last night we killed a bottle of scotch between us, and I had 2 home runs today. I don't want to break the spell.
Ooh.
So much.
Where'd you get that recording?
The recording, listen, man, we got some archives.
That's wild.
We pay a lot of money for it.
Yeah, it was
insane.
Yeah, we have a really big budget. We're in Beverly Hills.
Right.
But who was the athlete we were covering? I know we cover a lot of athletes that drink, but like that's like a thing where it's like, don't fix it if it ain't broke.
And
like,
right.
That was Namath.
They would like force them to drink so that
Namath
way
was
they
playing really
play
well,
better.
And then he stopped drinking, and his offensive lineman was like, never do that again, and like held his mouth open and poured booze down it.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
And now we got fucking pizza commercials. I mean,
shit. Hey, when was the last time the Bears held up the trophy? The 80s?
85.
Yeah.
That's really depressing.
This is another quote about how much he drank. So, according to his biographer, Carl Wingenheim, Wagenheim, you don't get those names anymore.
Wagenheim.
He said, Babe would have a bootlegger in every town. Babe here, send up a case. He'd call and go, Babe here, send up a case of old scotch. Case of old rye and fill the bathtub with beer.
Well, ooh. I think it's important. The reason why he's a bootlegger is because there was the prohibition, guys. Because
oh,
it was, again, 1648. And so because he was super famous and wealthy, he could get booze any place he wanted. So which is why
Can
he
relate,
had his own I had my own bootlegger.
That's awesome.
Who just goes, baby, yeah, send up a case of scotch, case of rye. He just says that all the time.
Sophie's case, so it's a seltzer.
Ooh, are you a seltzer drinker?
Just regular seltzer.
I'm a huge seltzer drinker. I don't drink anymore, which we talk about how we started the podcast, and like the day we started I had decided to not drink.
We used to be
really
fun.
You know, when does this go out, is this in the future?
Probably
like
in 2017.
That's the past
2027
because I downloaded a sober app and I'm on day 14, so when you hear this I'll probably be back at zero, but I just was like, I'm gonna just do this and like track it.
So how does that work?
It gives me little quotes in the morning. It'll be like, don't drink because like you're a loser, and I'll be like, okay. Hey, guess I will. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to die alone.
Yeah, it's like everyone you love around you hates you.
Yeah.
Like, don't turn to booze.
So
like,
were you a problem drinker? If so, let's talk about it.
No, I don't think so. But like, I also think that like, I'm not trying to live up to Babe's legacy. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. It's like some of these guys, and a lot of them actually, of a certain generation, right, who could fucking throw it back and fucking hit home runs. It's
right?
Like, I feel like maybe our generation is just soft.
Have you guys ever played Dizzy Bat?
Yes.
Okay, so
awful.
For those that haven't played it, it
so
is
fun.
You take a wiffle ball bat and there's a little hole in the bottom and you fill it with beer. And so
I've not played this version.
I thought you mean where you put your head on the ground.
You
and
guys
you
are
in a circle.
That's what I thought
yes,
too.
Yes, of course, but you have to chug the whole beer out of the wiffle ball.
Sorry,
bat.
We didn't all play tennis.
Yeah, but you're gonna kill us. I have a feeling you could fucking collegiate athlete over
so
here.
So here, not anymore. Trust me. So you fill the wiffle ball bat with beer or seltzer, or if you're camping in the Northeast, vodka, and you have to you take the wiffle ball bat, fill it with whatever, you chug that, and then you spin 10 times with the bat, and then you try to hit the ball. 9 times my friend got a black eye once playing this. It's absolutely insane. But my point is I think it made me better. So drinking and then trying to hit a ball.
Better at sports.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because
or better at life.
Well, both. I think also like liquid courage is a real thing. That's why I'm
100%.
Drunk right now. My app just refreshed, like in order to come on. You know what I mean? Like Hammered Heroes. I was like, well, we're gonna be sober.
Yeah,
doing
I know.
This.
Like, I know. We did used to talk about like, oh, we'll be like JJ Redick. We'll have like glasses of wine as we
sober
talk.
Sober heroes.
Yeah,
how fun is that?
I like
shit?
That. I like that.
Really upset. But.
It's pretty funny though how good he played though.
Right.
Like, I don't think that could happen. That much partying now could be that good. Probably Rodman, I think, was the last great one to be that fucked up. And
you
that
think it's
talented.
Like the level, though? Like back in you know, like 12, 18, see? Like the level of athletes weren't... So Babe being drunk was still like that much. Like,
yeah, I wonder how he would hold up, you know, in today's world.
It's like Jordan and LeBron. Like they if they played each other, who would win now? It's like probably LeBron because Michael Jordan's like, what, 1,000 now? Like...
Yeah,
oh, shit.
But we were talking, we just had another person on that we're talking about, like, the sports science behind it, right? Like, everyone has, like, you know, guys that are tracking every single thing that's going in their body and, like, figuring, it's not just...
Body is a temple.
Yeah, not
I mean,
just...
you have a sobriety app, I don't want to call you out, but this is what we're talking
well,
about.
Well, I'm an athlete, you know, I need to watch everything that's going in my body right
but
now.
But I do love this discussion, and I wanted to bring it up, because I saw this hilarious tweet that said, Babe Ruth was an alcoholic at 12 years old and still hit 714 home runs. You're trying to tell me that he couldn't learn to hit 98 miles an hour fast with some corny dad driving him to showcases every weekend instead of wearing wooden shoes and drinking a bottle every night? Apples to oranges. And I think this is a great discussion. We'll never know the answer, but
I mean, I think we know the answer, but yeah.
But and it's also it is a good point though. Also, let's say what's really going on. Black people weren't really playing baseball back then either. Like that's significant, you know, to discount that. Like,
yeah.
But maybe he would be this good. He would just get a really good dad.
Yeah.
And drive him around.
Yeah, I mean, if he was born into a different century, he had a different family, you know, and then would he be able to? Yeah, what would that look like? I'm not quite sure, but I do think the athleticism.
Yeah,
it was different. It was definitely
for sure
different than how it is now, and way way more competitive.
But also,
I
what's
think,
that thing?
Now.
It's like you know, Meryl Streep didn't get her first thing till she was 24, or like Oprah, like that.
Right.
Don't like blame yourself or whatever. It's like Babe Ruth was an alcoholic at 12. Like Erica, you're a loser. Like look at all he accomplished at 12 as an alcoholic, and like what are you doing? And I'm like, I do podcasts. Like things are fine.
It's just these are fun discussions in sports that there's never any answer. Like the LeBron Jordan discussion is gonna. To go on forever.
Ever, yeah.
Forever.
Of course.
They're gonna be like, no.
So
exactly like that.
Just no.
So he was partying. This is a fun thing, which it could be a rumor. So Babe Ruth was partying a bunch, and then once he got back on the field, so he had a game, he clubs 25 home runs, hit .290 in 98 games, but continued keeping the party going. His roommate on road trips claimed he's only ever saw the Babe's suitcase back at the hotel. And this great game recounts an episode later in the year when Yankee skipper Miller Huggins docked Ruth $5,000 of his 1925 salary.
Which is, like, again, $10 trillion.
Yeah, yeah, which was a huge sum at the time. And then this finally got Babe to stop partying, and then he rocked 60 home runs. So maybe actually our theory is debunked, that we just said, oh, he's doing so great.
Because he was drunk.
Right, and now when he stopped drinking, he didn't even
I do wonder, what do you guys think? Do you think, I've thought about this in my life, that drinking makes you less successful?
For sure. Look at anyone that, like...
You think so?
Yeah.
But there are people who are getting hammered who are doing really well, too, though.
Right, but are they already there? You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, you either have it or you don't. So maybe this is, like, a really deep rhetorical question.
No, I like this.
Maybe you have it or you don't. And it doesn't matter if you drink or don't. You either are it
or you're not.
I do.
This feels like a Nike commercial.
Yeah, that's tough.
This is a Nike commercial.
I think... Well, you don't want to hear what I think.
I do.
And now we do.
I don't
want to hear what I know. I think that it is... I don't think it's sustainable.
Mm.
I don't think it's sustainable.
That's fair.
I think it can last for a long time, and I think there's obviously people... But, like, think about Dennis Rodman. Like, he had a great career, but also think about him now. It's like, you know, he's hanging out with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, he had a great second act.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. He's partying and stuff, but how, you know... How long is he going to live?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But as far as, like, can you party and be fucking wild and crazy and still, you know, be like a David Wells? I mean, yeah, maybe. I guess it's to each their own.
David
but I
Wells
don't know.
Is a good example.
I don't know if it's sustainable.
I'm just trying to ask if I'm okay. That's what I just
yeah,
want to
yeah,
ask
yeah.
with
I
you
don't
guys.
Know. Yeah, I don't know, Baker. Okay. I don't know.
But yeah, let's get into some of these stories. This one was one of my favorite ones. This is from HBO's Babe Ruth documentary. Title of this is Hitting Long Balls, Downing High Balls.
Chicago, 1932. The Yankees had their pregame hitting practice, and Babe Ruth is nowhere to be found. As game time approaches, manager Joe McCarthy gets nervous.
He said, have you seen the Babe? I said, no, I haven't seen him since yesterday's ball game. He says, are you going in the clubhouse? I said, yeah. He says, see if he's in there.
Ooh.
So a tale surfaced that one time the White Sox, this is like try to be all smart. They're like, okay, we're going to take him out. We're going to get him all fucked up on this punch, and he's going to be so terrible the next day.
So I run across the field and down through the runway and up into the clubhouse. And sure enough, that's that Babe on his little old stool over there in front of his locker. He had his cap on, had his sweatshirt on, had his trousers on. If he'd pulled them up, the zipper would have been in the back.
So they got a Chicago bartender to make this crazy ass punch. He came in, did all the punch, got hammered, and the next day rolled around. He showed up on no sleep.
I said, hurry up, Babe. I said, the ball game's about to start. He said, oh, Babe, be out there. So he was sitting down on the bench, and it was time to hit.
Dominated the game.
I reckon somebody punched him. Ruth reached over and got one bat. And he used as a walking stick. And he walked up to the plate with that one bat. And so help me, the first ball pitched. He hit it a half a mile over the top of the stands. He hit it clean out of the ballpark. He got two home runs, a triple, and two doubles.
And then asked the Sox where they were going out for drinks after the game.
Oh, legendary.
That's great,
that's
man.
Amazing. That's why they made
out.
The Sandlot. That is the reason why they made the Sandlot right there.
That's so good.
There's a rumor here that once traveling with the team, he was chased through the train by a knife-wielding woman with a grudge.
Ooh.
I also love that. A knife-wielding woman with a grudge.
Let's hope she has a grudge. She has a knife.
Another time he fled near naked from a man who came after him with a gun after discovering that Ruth had slept with his wife.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're leaving out the women. I feel like that's a part we've left out is the dames, probably, as you call them. He had a lot of dames.
I mean, his name is Babe. Like, that's... Imagine you're texting someone on your phone and it says Babe and then your, like, significant other looks at it and it's like, who the fuck is Babe? And it's like, oh, it's Babe.
Who do you think...
Well, he would... By the way, he would sign checks. Sorry, I just... This is piggyback on that. He would often buy large rounds of drinks for customers in his famous Hots Cafe and when he was in Cleveland, but he would always write checks because he knew people wouldn't cash them, and then he would sign the checks The Babe, which wasn't even his real name.
Mm. Oh, that's hilarious.
This is like, can he even... you can't cash it, obviously.
Start writing checks that, are all fake, too. Oh, is he just committing bank fraud? That's fine.
I mean, it was...
No big deal.
It was 500 BC. It does not matter.
It was worth 6 cents.
It was
totally
a prehistoric
fine.
Age. Dinosaurs had just...
Yeah.
What athlete today do we think even comes close to this? Do they exist? Besides Matthew Stafford, who do we think?
No, definitely not.
Matt Leinhart?
Yeah, maybe. I'm
sorry. Why?
Did you call Matt Leinhart?
Leinhart? No, because we got the email and it was like, yeah, she really loves Rams and Babe Ruth and Matt Leinhart.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't believe you. This is denial.
I know.
I gotta talk to my publicist, whoever
sent
the emails.
I'm very confused. I looked at this guy. He's like, I mean.
But he was like kicked out of the league for like drinking and stuff.
Oh,
too.
Matt Leinhart was?
Yeah. There was like a lot of drunken stories with him.
Oh, I didn't know that. He just kind of looked like a really attractive.
Yeah, he probably had a couple.
Yeah,
other
but
dames.
Also, okay, so I know. Let's see, what can I
he does
say?
Look like a tech
what
bro.
Can I say here that's like not.
Uh oh, let's get into it. Here we go. Breaking news.
Yeah, give
I
us
can't.
Some stuff.
But there's a former player that I know that played in the NFL who would drink and partake in other substances pregame with some of the players. I would say
Roger Goodell.
In the last, like, 10, 15 years.
Oh, wait, we know about this. We covered them. The three boys. The three guys. Remember?
You're saying it's one guy.
I know him and his teammates. And
we did an episode about Clinton Portis and them doing shots before the
game.
That's
not who I'm talking about.
No, come on. There's so much stuff we do not know that's happening right now.
Do you think it's actually, like, actually still going on? It's just people aren't talking about it.
I don't, especially being in... these locker rooms
I don't
now.
Think the level of this.
Right, of course
but
not.
But it's still going
on. I'm sure that they go out and have drinks or whatever, but also like the amount of work that they put into their body, especially just on the NFL side. And it's like to hear, you know, bleep bleep tell stories about, you know, doing cocaine before going out on the field.
Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, definitely. It's fascinating to me because your whole livelihood is like, it's like, okay, you already got the, you know, the 20 million, the whatever. It's like literally Tom Brady wouldn't eat a fucking strawberry like to try to
avocado,
sustain this.
He's so fun, that guy.
So it's just
but he will do a Hertz commercial.
I mean, hey, you got to plug him in.
Let's go.
I want to stick on this because I think this is such an interesting thing as to think how different is it really. I saw Mark Cuban publicly say on a podcast that he's like, well, what are the young players obsessed about? He's like, women. We have to have like a lot of talks with them about women.
Oh, I think women is probably the biggest vice.
Yeah.
But I think too, fair. Like, I don't know, like after I would win a game or lose a game in tennis, like you got to get the women. You know what I mean? Win or lose. You got to
well, what do you say when you lose? Are you just like, oh man, babe, I feel so bad because I'm.
Yeah. You're like, I got to get this aggression out. Like I got to do something. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, speaking of women, a private detective was hired by the game to tail Babe Ruth because there was reported that Ruth slept with 6 women during just one night out in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's it? Oh, come on, babe. You could do better than that.
Why did they hire a private detective?
And also, too, like, why wouldn't you be like, hey, it's number one? Like, there wasn't text messaging, but it's like, oh, shit, we're on number 6? Like, girl? Did the private investigator let her know while she's leaving? Like, hey, you're number 6.
Was it for her?
Also, don't you love it? There was, like, probably no photographer then, so he's just drawn sketches of these women.
Sketch
he's, like, hand sketching them really quickly. Circles.
Everything's in black and white.
Yeah, just totally circles. That's hilarious.
I'm wondering too. I don't want to get too detailed here, but I just imagine that's probably hard for men because I think like men.
6? Yeah, that's tough.
Don't,
I mean, I guess I don't know.
I don't know, but I just feel like men.
I mean, let me tell you. I wake up next to 6 women every day.
Yeah.
By 6 women, I mean my dog.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's something else we should probably dive into.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Let's talk about it.
No, but 6 times
tough.
In a night? Like, is that a 12-hour? Is it like a 24-hour binge? Is it a 6?
6 in a night is tough, especially if you've been boozing
moonshine.
Yeah, there's
no way.
Right? Moonshine, that's
right. This private investigator's full of shit.
Just burning a hole in his stomach. I mean, but also, let's not deny this, Will Chamberlain publicly said he think he said 10,000 women.
Yeah, but like, that's no offense, men are just full of shit.
You think he's lying?
10,000?
Yeah,
like,
I think you're full
you
of
would
shit.
Be you would be hooked up to an IV with some sort of like super STD that
well,
hasn't
apparently
been
you don't like fun.
10,000? Like what
give
is
you
the
five,
math?
But like 10,000's a
10,
lot.
10,000 women, like there's 365 days in a year.
That's exhausting.
I am saying it's not out of the realm of possibility. Do I think that he's exaggerating? Probably.
You would literally have to I would have to have them lined up at this door when I open the recording and it's like you got it's like it's consider me ovulating trying to get pregnant. It's like if the clock hits 12, I gotta hit 1, 2, 3 in a row. Like 10,000 is fucking impossible.
Brendan seems very convinced by whatever Wikipedia article he read about this.
SNL did a hilarious sketch where MC Hammer was Wilt Chamberlain. It was so funny. And he's like, she was number 7,443, but to me, she was number 4,526.
That's actually really good.
It's all these women just keep coming in on like a rotating basis.
Yeah.
Damn,
I mean,
10,000.
I don't know, man. Magic Johnson has a story about publicly saying he had sex with like 30 women at once. But I guess what does that
okay,
what
does
sex
so,
mean?
Yeah, does that count? Are you counting 30?
Yeah, is it like all in the room? Like what are we
right, like 10,000. Like what are we at?
I would love to start a podcast about this. And you guys would like
crypto.com arena. And it's like they were all watching.
Everyone in the
70,
arena.
70,000. Like not
count
yet.
It.
Yeah, that, I don't know.
Yeah, Ruth seems like kind of a, we think about Babe Ruth doing it. If he seems like a guy just kind
of
lays down. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, he
a lot
looks
of
like that type.
Too.
A
I
lot.
Guarantee he snored.
He doesn't look like a generous lover.
He just
think.
Seems
he's like
a...
get off me, Sally. They're always Sally.
Yeah.
Why are they always so many Sallys?
I don't know.
Man.
It's like Dorothy.
Sally. Dorothy, not you again.
Dorothy.
Yeah.
Dorothy.
I do think.
Let me lay down here.
They also there's
then
also
we'll
like
go to donkeys.
There's also donkeys. There's also a lot of like speculation that he definitely had a venereal disease too. There's HPV.
Right.
I mean, he
right.
had to.
They
like,
all
just
they all
running,
do.
Running wild.
They all,
I mean, who doesn't?
They doesn't. You know, we're out here
just trying to make it.
We're just trying to make it happen. So let's do another rumor here. Did he really order, this was a question, did he really order a quart of whiskey and ginger ale to wash down his breakfast? Did he really wolf down 24 hot dogs between games during a doubleheader?
Ooh.
That's what appeared in the papers, and the legends just kept growing.
It felt like he does look like a guy who looks like a hot dog.
Yeah, but 24 glizzies?
No, that's a lot.
That's just, like, are we talking no bun? Like, you know what I
well,
mean?
Are we talking
like,
that thing where you wet them? You know, like
you know,
a competition?
The,
like,
Joey Chestnut or whatever
Kobayashi,
his name is.
Kobayashi, crushing hot dogs.
I love a good hot dog, though.
Yeah, a wiener is great, but 24 of them, that's just, see, this is the thing. This is how rumors start, and, you know, someone must have tweeted that back then, and then it just kept growing. And
there's a lot of tweets going back then.
There were a lot of okay.
24. I mean, I just think
I think
the reporting on this is fugazi.
I think the core. I don't understand what planet you're from. the planet of New England. But the like the quart of whiskey and ginger ale makes sense. Like I would imagine it's like, did he order a quart? Did he drink a quart? Probably not. Did he order it?
Well, what is a quart? That's like a half gallon. Like that's like the smaller milk if we're at the store. Is that a quart?
It's a lot.
A quart, I think, is like I'm
like a growler.
Yeah,
like a growler of beer.
Yeah, like I have no.
It's like he would order, but like, and then also it's the same thing with David Wells, where they were like he drank not David Wells, Wade Boggs.
Oh,
that started to escalate. It's like oh,
that number is
he drank 74 beers
every
and
year
it went to 110 beers now.
Right.
He's Wade Boggs is saying on the streets of New York City to this day, oh no, it was 110
now
beers.
Like, and then he's like, I had a fake leg. I was drinking out of the leg. He's just having a good time.
Dizzy bat.
Yeah, he was doing dizzy bat. But let's also think about, I just realized this, at the exact same time that this is happening, I'd like to everyone point their attention to a certain author by the name of Ernest Hemingway.
Four quarts is one gallon.
We just got a math lesson.
Yeah,
four quarts is one gallon.
Okay, so he's drinking a fourth a gallon of whiskey?
It's not that much. That's a night out in WeHo.
Okay. You're going to WeHo?
I mean, no, not my sober app will not let me right now, but like...
sober app just like has a little shot collar.
Yeah, it's like,
keeps
stay,
you
off,
shot.
Stay off of Santa Monica Boulevard.
Stay in Beverly Hills. No one has fun in Beverly Hills. You will stay there.
Yeah.
WeHo, I love it.
But I just want to say like Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald,
say it.
All of those clowns were together in Paris drinking non-stop.
Yeah, but they're artists. Is different.
Mm.
I don't think so. Like they're also writing some of the best literature
ever. Yeah, like
Jack
Kerouac. What the fuck's his name? He was a writer who was
Everyone here is well read.
Yeah.
Who would you guys rather marry, Hemingway or Babe Ruth? I'm going Babe Ruth, dude.
I think Hemingway was
He had a darkness.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Yeah, Hemingway is dark, and also Babe Ruth too. It's just like sort of like
he just sleeps a lot.
Like
yeah,
I was talking about this today. If I could date Selena Gomez, what would that do for my career? She can do whatever she wants. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Babe Ruth is
all about
so
you.
It is all about me.
Well,
so
you're saying
like,
Selena Gomez would help your career?
Of course.
Right,
are you kidding
me? No,
like, just even meet, like, paparazzi, just take one photo, and it's like, who
your
the
hand,
fuck?
It's like your hand's like this.
Yeah, and she's like, reaching for it, but she's actually, like, trying to get the keys to, like, valet, but it, like, looks like we're, like, you know what I mean? And, like, all of a sudden,
it's like Pete Davidson and Kardashian. That's what's, you know, exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like Babe Ruth, like, okay, yeah.
Okay, but I want to say this, though, and I didn't want to take it there, but I'm going to have to, because it's how we ended the last podcast, too.
Yeah.
The farting has to be unreal, though. Can you imagine?
I can't. And I don't want to.
But you could. You could imagine.
I don't want to, though.
You don't need to, but you could.
We don't.
Yeah, that feels...
I mean, David Wells talked about, like, he's like, oh, I was in the bathroom 10 times the morning of my perfect game.
Wow.
Yeah. They just look like a sweaty little...
Actually, well, it was Josh Allen says he throws up before every game.
Well, that makes sense.
Finally, some fucking truth around here.
We can talk about how much of a shithead that piece of shit...
Nobody in the history of American sport has made the same impact that Babe Ruth made on the world of baseball. The inventor of the home run. A powerhouse who built the reputation of an entire club. A larger-than-life figure who revolutionized his sport.
He was a phenomenon.
Shit.
I think he's a great person.
Oh, here we go.
He's a nice guy.
Okay. This is where I...
Do you also cry when you wake up in the morning and when you take your showers and shave your face with the Gillette razor?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
you
brought
morning.
Up the wrong name, Missy.
Wait, so you don't like Josh Allen?
No.
Why?
He's a little bastard.
No.
Yeah, but he's got a big arm. Look at that arm talent. You know what I mean?
You got a lot of other guys with big arms.
I really liked you up until the Josh Allen time. Like, you were one of my favorite
guests.
We've had two guests. You were one of my favorites.
Really? That's amazing.
No, easily.
Top two.
You're
sure.
Easily top two.
Yeah. Wow, that's great, you guys.
Yeah.
No, he's fine. He just, you know, it's like...
No, he's not fine.
He cries a lot, and it's fine. I don't mind if he cries. I like people who are emotional.
Yeah, soft side, right.
But it is one of those things where he'll cry even though they're winning, and I'm like, yo, dude. And he's crying because he's upset.
That he didn't play as well or whatever.
I don't know. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
I miss Babe Ruth.
Well, I saw Josh Allen at a barstool party at a Super Bowl weekend in Miami, actually, humble brag. That is a big boy. That is a big boy.
Yeah, like, I think that's surprising. I'd be surprised how big he is.
Like, you know how big he is, but he walked in wearing a nice, crisp, white t-shirt, but it was, like, ironed. It was ironed. It looked good. Had the chain on, and I was bro, come on. But I turned around, and I was, like, kind of, I was ashamed with myself anyways for being at a barstool party.
Oh, come on.
Okay, and I was just like, I don't want anyone to see me here, like, whatever, kind of turned around, and I, like, literally, like, hit his belt, like, my head. Like,
oh, I'm
just
shit.
Like, he is so big that I literally was just like, oh, my God.
So all the shit-talking, he could beat the shit out of
me. Come beat the shit out of me.
On that note, this has been an incredible podcast. I had a great time.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Yeah, you want to plug where we can find your stuff?
Yeah, find me on Instagram at Erica Tamposi or Twitter at Erica Tamposi or TikTok. I'm a little old for it, but I'm trying.
Okay. You know,
we're all trying.
We're all trying.
All, you can ask for, I guess.
Keep listening. Like and subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. You can follow the pod again at Hammered Heroes Pod on TikTok, on Instagram, and Roll Tide, baby.
Go Rams.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please like, subscribe, share with your friends, share with your drunk uncle, I don't know, and give us a 5-star rating. You can follow us at Hammered Heroes Pod on TikTok and Instagram, or you can follow us individually. Me, Sophie Santos, at Sophie E. Santos on Instagram, or at The Real Sophie Santos on TikTok. Or you can follow Brendan at the _Brendan Fitzgibbons on both Instagram and TikTok. Bye-bye now.